I just want you to know, I looked today, because yesterday we kind of briefly went over that sugya in Avodah Zarah, and we, we gave us far based in Rashba and all that. But did you hear yesterday? Yeah. So I was feeling a little uneasy yesterday because I didn't really go through that whole Gemara, well, and even I just kind of jumped in there. So this morning I did with my brother, and I think it still works out. I think we learned a while. I mean, there's like a little more details in the thing if you go through the Gemara there and you get the Cheshbon and whatever. And I think it comes even more interesting. There's like more subtleties or whatever. But I think the basic ideas, it was borne out.
So
So
what
I'm
was
happy about that. I was a little nervous. That
what
is,
was that
sometimes you have
sugya?
a whole idea. You go through it more in detail. You realize you missed the boat. But I don't think we did. So the Pshat was the same. The Pshat wasn't different. It's just that there's a greater context. This whole thing was a question on Rav Yonai. Meisiv, whatever. So they go Meisiv, and the Tosafot Rashi says, oh, on Rav Yonai. When I first saw it, I'm like, who's Rav Yonai? I don't know. I looked up the page. I couldn't see any Rav Yonai. Turns out he's back on the other Amud, So you have to really go through what Rav Yonai's position is, and it's a little complicated. It's about Shemitah and selling, paying off. Rav Yonai used to help out Aniyim. He used to pay back there during Shemitah. He'd basically lend them fruits. Because it was like the deadline was coming, so they were going to have to get rid of all their fruits. They weren't going to do business with them once the time for Shemitah comes. So what he used to do is he'd borrow all their fruits, and I guess he had a big house, or I don't know, he'd eat them, whatever, and then he'd pay them back after Shemitah. So the question is do those fruits take on the status of Shemitah? Whatever. Once you got him, then you can figure out what a Mesa was and whatever, But it turns out that I think the source ends up being the same thing. And the area of Isser is Isser uses Din HaMamonos. It doesn't use the technical or legal legalities of Din HaMamonos, but it uses the way you relate to it. I mean, there are other things in the sugya that bear it out, I think. Like, if you remember, we said as the Chenveni, he has to be totally trusting, certain that the guy's going to pay him back, right? We talked about that yesterday, right? So, what kind of thing is that? If the guy's going to pay him back, he doesn't pay him back, right? I mean, who cares if he's regular, right? It had to be regular, so that he knows that he's used to having him, so that he trusts for sure that the guy's gonna pay him. So what do you mean? But the guy's gonna have to pay him. So who cares if he trusts for sure? He doesn't trust for sure, But that's why I think the idea is because it has to be in his mind. It's in the bag. It's his. Once it's like he's gonna have to go to courts and whatever. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Like, technically, legally, the guy's mishabud. He has to. Fine. But that's not the idea here. It's not his. He doesn't relate to it his until it's a done deal. It's not a done deal. Look, he has to. He's chayav to. I'm going to go to courts, and there's litigation, and there's this, and there's that. But if he already has a working relationship with the guy, and he knows this day, it's happened many times, the guy gives it to him, so he basically treats it in the bag. He's just spending the other guy's money. So it's technically, even though technically speaking, it's really the guy's money, but Amaretz's money. It could be both Amaretz or a guy. It turns out. But in terms of the gavros are concerned, it's basically it's in the bag. He's spending the Jew's money, and therefore he's spending the Jew's money on shvius, then that's a problem. So it's, I'm just saying, if you want to go through it, it's kind of interesting. But now, so we knew now, hopefully we'll finish this up today, is this Tosos. Okay, and I think is the ideas we've had, I think they're kind of, I don't know if it's so many new ideas, but it's, a little bit different. A little bit different than Tosos. There's one, let's put them all together. I think it's kind of just putting a lot of things together here. There's at least one new Mahalakas here. Okay, so. So let's see here. That's not on still, right? Yeah, pay. Top doses. Yeah. Okay. So once again, the machlokas is whether we're by Erev Chatzeros and by Erev Tchumen. Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tchumen, whether you have to be mezaka, you have to actually do a kinyan if you want for other people, if you want to place it for them, or is it simply enough to place it on their behalf? Okay, so Rav is basically the same. Tosis isn't so much interested in Rav. Rav is the same in everybody, pretty much. Is that he says, since the guy benefits, since you benefit by having the other guy having an Erev, right? Since you benefit by the other guy having an Erev, so therefore it's your Gamar Machni. Your Gamar Machni to him. Your gemir's das to be kona him to transfer a part of the erev to him. Okay, good. But in Eretz Chumen, you have no benefit at all. So since you have no benefit, so therefore there's no Gemara Stas of Kenyan, and therefore you have to do a Maisa, you know, picking it up, giving it, being Zakeh to somebody else, having Gemara Stas that you're placing on his behalf. Right? That's Rav. Now Shmuel argues. So Shmuel argues. Okay, so he says like this. So what's Shmuel's argument? So this is so it's from David also. So it says, Rav Amrin Tzoch Zakeh, the Kivin da Aser Aleha Gomor Machni Lai. Right, since it's Aser, he Asers him, so it's he's Gomor Machni. If it's Chum Tzoch Zakeh, the Aser will have Logor Machni. Fine, that's what I just said. Okay, the first book of the Shmuel, the Mavoi Tzoch Zakeh. Shmuel says, no, in the Mavoi, Erev Chatzer, you have to do it. The Lamekne Rishosu, because you're being Machni the Rishos to him. The Kasavar Erev Misham Kinyan, Perek Mishos Yehu. I feel it, right? So he holds, Shmuel holds. The question is, how does it work by Erev Chatzeros? How does it work? So according to Shmuel, if you look there, is I am being maknet to the other guy a portion of my chatzar. Okay? I'm giving him a kinyan in my chatzar. And, right? And since I'm giving him a kinyan in my chatzar, so therefore he's, right? That's what happens. I'm giving him a kinyan in my chatzar. So now we, so to speak, jointly own this chatzar, and therefore we're all joined together, and it's considered like one rishos. Okay? So I'm giving him a kinyan in my chatzar. So that's what he's saying. If you're giving him a kinyan in your chatzar, then you can't just say you have gemiras das. I think we kind of talk about this yesterday in the Rashba. You don't just say, guys, gemiras das and be machnei as chatzar or somebody. It's one thing to say gemiras das in order to place an eruv. I'm willing. I have full gemiras das that this bread will be his. You know, this food will be his. Fine, you could say that. You know, there's a reason to say it in order. I want to be able to carry. Fine, but to be machnei another guy a piece of my chatzar, that already is. It's true. You could show me a good reason why I want to have an eruv. But a guy's chatzar. This is rishos, and he's not going to be machnei. It's not so simple. A guy's going to have gemiras das to be kona to machnei as rishos, unless you have a kinyan. You know, to show, to illustrate he really has such a das. Okay? So that's going to Shmuel. But Rav, I'm sorry, not Shmuel, Rabba, I think it is, holds the Erev Mishum Dira, which means that it's not that you're being Kona the guy's field, but it's just that you're being a dar. You're putting the bread, you're acquiring the bread, and thereby so a person lives where his bread is. So since he has a kinyan in the bread, so therefore he's like a dar in your chatzar. Okay, all the people are darim, they all live, they all dwell in your chatzar. Since they all dwell in one chatzar, therefore the eruv works. So you're not actually, the surface, you're not actually being kona the chatzar. You're actually being kona the chatzar. Right? But Tosa says, now, filu lamandar ma eruv misham dira. So Shmuel holds, even according to the side who holds eruv misham dira, tzarch lezakos, according to Shmuel. Kedeshi he kona dira v'vayas chavera. Because you have to be konedira in the guy's house. So he's saying is that you're not actually kone his house. But what does it mean you're living there? He's learning, according to Shmuel, that it's still a phenomenon of kinyan. It's just not kinyan of the house itself. It's like a kinyan ledira. Whereas you're acquiring dwelling rights there in his house. You know, it's still working through a kinyan. It's just not a kinyan of the goof of the house, you know, the very house itself is a kinyan of the dwelling rights there. You have a kinyan, so you have dwelling rights there. And he's saying that also, you don't say gomer makri, because that's still, it's like a kinyan in the other guy's rishos. You know, I mean, that's the way Shmuel's learning. I mean, it could be Rav will learn, to argue, he'll learn that it doesn't mean, that mishum dira means it's not a kinyan in the dir, you know, in the house itself. But it's just, in fact, I think from Rashi over there it sounds that way. But it could be learned, it means you're a dar there. So just you have the food, and thereby you're a dar. So you're basically just transferring the food, and then he's physically a dar there. It's not necessarily a kinyan. So that would be the case, then there's no difference between, you know, you don't. It's not really being machnet to him, the land. Yeah, Mars, question?
I guess what those things, are you giving the placer, is giving the recipient the food, in order so that the recipient will thereby, via the food, be konesh dira in the bias of the placer. Okay? Because that's how it means. It's since the food is there, so where your food is, that's where you're dar.
So basically it's the same up until now, right? It doesn't make much of a difference. What he's saying is that it's that Rav Shmuel's holding it's a kinyan in the bias. So therefore you have to have, you don't assume gemiras das. There's a resistance. Right? There's a resistance to being kona, to being machnet to the other guy, you're a chater. Right? That's Shmuel's argument. And it could be Rav holding not being Kohen of the Chatzar. Again, it sounds like Tos is making a point that Shmuel holds Erev is Mishum Kenyan, you know what I mean? So it sounds like that's the move here. Yeah. It seems from Tosas, that, see, Kona Rishos is more than Kona Dira. And there's more resistance. Because in Kona Rishos, you're actually being Machnehem, a part of your Rishos. There's a Kenyan in your property. He, like, has a bilus in your property. In Kona Dira, it's like he's acquiring, like, usage rights. So to speak, he has a kinyan of usage. It's like a rental, so to speak. You know what I mean? Or it's a different type of a thing. It's like he's kona the rights of dwelling for today. You know, so that's a less. But he's arguing is that Shmuel's going to say even that you don't assume that because it's still a type of kinyan in your bias. It's not just in bread. It's one thing to be give gemiras das to give a guy bread. It's another thing to start messing around with your property. Property is a different thing. You know, but I'm saying is it could be he doesn't say velas that, but it could be Rav holds. That Erev is not working through the Kinyan and the Chatzar, it's just working through the bread. And since your bread there, functionally, your dar there, so you don't actually need a Kinyan. So then you're just being mocking them the bread. So you're just mocking them the bread. So then that's fine. So you see the Gemara's Nas. But the question is, according to Shmuel now, what about Erev Truman? So I understand why Shmuel says that you have a Gemara's Nas, you don't have a Gemara's Nas by Erev Chatzaros. But why does he say you do have a Gemiras Das? Or why does he say it is a you don't need a Kenyan by Erev Truman, right? Because Rav said that the guy has no impetus to really make the do Kenyan by Erev Truman, right? He's saying he doesn't gain anything. Even Erev Chatzar says you do because it's also you're allowed to carry, but Erev Truman is nothing. So Shmuel is arguing. He says, no, Erev Chatzar, you've got a problem. But what about Erev Truman? So why does it work by Erev Truman without a Kenyan? So that's what he has three answers for. Right? So that's why he's arguing on the second side. This first says, so he says this, since you're not Kohen Rishos Acherim, and this is, I think, the way we learned in the Ritva, is that he's not concerned. He's basically holding is that the guy says that he's placing the air for the other guy, and there's no resistance, there's no qualitative resistance, so then you assume he means it. You know, whereas, so again, according to Rav, you had to prove that the guy really was interested in doing a Kenyan. And he proved it because it's good for him. And therefore, by Truman, there's no proof, because maybe what does he care? According to Shmuel, you know, you don't have, you believe the guy. When a guy says he's being called, he's being placed in the Erev, you assume he has a Gemiras Nas, unless there's a resistance. And if you're trying to give him a piece of your field, then there's a resistance. But if you're giving him the bread, which you're putting out anyway, you're not being called Rishos, so it's just the bread which you're putting out there, so then he'll say that's not, there's no resistance for that. He doesn't make a point because it's like you're taking it out of your rishos, right? But it seems like he's just saying is that once there's no ascent, there's no fundamental resistance when it's just bread. It seems like rishos is one thing, but here it's not rishos, so then the guy's okay with it. It's called Kohen Shvisa. By Erev Truman, what you're doing is you're giving him the bread, you're making him a partner in your bread, and then using this bread, you're Kohen Shvisa in that location. Which is like a Kohen Adira, but it's just not in the other guy's rishos. He's not giving up his rishos, it's just on the side of the road somewhere. So what does he care? I mean, it's not like his land or something. It's just a piece of bread, which you're putting out on the side of the road. And what's the big deal? So I'm giving him part of my bread on the side of the road. There's no resistance. So that's what according to Shmuel is once you remove the resistance, so then you could assume, you assume there's Gemiras Das. According to this answer, he's saying you don't have to show Gemiras Das. That's what Shmuel's holding according to this answer. That you don't need to show Gemiras Das. You assume Gemiras Das unless there's a resistance. Whereas Rav is holding, you have to show Gemiras Das. And he's not concerned about the resistance because he must learn, he learns differently, you know, how Chatzaros works. I guess he's saying your food. I know he's saying your food. So it could be two answers. I mean, first, you could say, look, your food is not that much of a thing. You know, if it's your shos, like those things you're making, your shos, that's already a resistance. Your food, so you're putting your food, so you give him a portion of your food, big deal. But I mean, the Ritva spelled out that it sounded like because you're taking your food out of your rishos anyway, so it's your food on the side of the road. You're already, so to speak, miayish on the food you're putting. You know, the Tos isn't saying that. So you could say he means that, or you could just say he holds a certain quantity at which you assume the resistance is going to get in the way. Quantity of giving a field is a big thing. Quantity of giving the food is not going to get in the way. He says he's placing it for him. You don't have to look further. You know, and he doesn't say so much. So I'd rather, you know. Okay, that's his first answer. Second answer, but that's a little bit weak, though. I think it's a little bit weak as he goes further. It's because why don't you say, I mean, the whole premise here is you need to show Gemiras Das. So, by Erev Truman, how do you know? Because he is giving him food. So, who says it's Gemiras Das? Right? Who said? So, it's not as much resistance as land, I understand, but look, there's still, how do you know? How do you know? Maybe he's not really giving it. Maybe he's not really doing it. So it says, that's what his second answer says, Inami, kivnein marvim yuchtum el dvar mitzvah, yishu mitzvah gamar makni. He says, the halacha is you're not allowed to place erev tchum unless it's mitzvah. Okay, that's just stam halacha. You can't just stam place erev tchum because you want to go on a little walk or whatever. It's be for mitzvah. So since the guy, who's the other guy, is using erev tchum for a mitzvah, so I have gemiras das to allow him to do the mitzvah. Okay, I'm gamar makni. Right? Whereas Rav held that wasn't enough. I mean, Rav also needed gamar makni. Right? He needed to show the guy gemiras das. But he said that the only way he should gemiras das is if I'm usur to carry without including the other guy. But I, the fact that I'm helping the other guy do a mitzvah, big deal. That's not gemiras das. That doesn't prove anything. Whereas Shmuel said, no, that's also gemiras das. I'm also gemiras makni. So that is going to be the define. Okay? Adam, you're going to just summarize it. For the basics, the machlokas of whatever, you know, with all the details. But the punchline is, you have to infer, show that the guy had a gemiras das to be mocking the thing to the other party. So how do you show it? According to Shirav, since if I don't include him in the Erev, I can't carry, therefore that's going to mock me. Therefore I have das to give it to him. But by Erev Truman, so that doesn't, I'm not also without him, what do I care? So therefore you don't assume, you can't infer that he definitely meant it. But Rav Shmuel brings another factor, that the all Erev Truman is always in order for a mitzvah. So since I'm helping the other guy do a mitzvah, therefore I have Gamar Makni. Therefore I have a das to really be connected to him. Right? Whereas Rav doesn't buy that. Rav says, okay, a mitzvah. But whatever. His first answer he's basically saying is that all Shmuel needs is that there's no resistance. That's all he cares about. He doesn't need any positive thing. Right? The resistance will block it. So therefore by Chatzeres will block it, but he doesn't need anything positive. Second answer is saying, no, Rav also demands something positive, but mitzvah is positive. But even if you have something positive, if you have a resistance, it will block it. You know what I mean? So there's either way, in the first answer, the second answer, in terms of Chatzeres, the resistance is still a blocker. The only question is do you need something positive to say it, or do you just trust the guy? You know, the second answer, he's not willing to just say you trust him. He says you have to show some sort of positive impetus to do it, so mitzvah will do it. But the punchline is, according to the second answer, you have Machlokes in Rav and Shmuel, about whether or not, where they both agree you need to have an impetus, you need to show. It's almost like, according to the first answer, Rav and Shmuel are really different. Rav doesn't buy Shmuel's point, or Shmuel doesn't buy Rav's point altogether, you need impetus, you need to prove motivation. Whereas the second answer, Rav agrees you need to show motivation. He's just saying it's not only motivation that is also for you, but even the motivation that you're helping the guy with the mitzvah. You know? So what's that machlokas? Is it enough of a motivation to indicate the guy's mirz das that you're helping him do a mitzvah? Or do you say you need something more strong, namely that it would be also for you to carry without him? So maybe it's like this. See, the guy is saying, I'm placing the Erev for this guy, for you. Okay? That's what he's saying. Right? Now the question is, does he mean it? Right? So basically, Rav says, I don't care what he says per se, you got to prove to me that he really, really wants it. Okay? You have to prove. You don't trust the guy, so to speak. He says it, but you have to prove there's Gemiras Das. Okay? You have to prove there's Gemiras Das. So you prove it because it's really good for him. It's good for him. A guy wants to place near Tchatzeros, obviously he wants to. Right? Forget the resistance problem. But he says that it proves it. Okay? But in Tchumen, so it's a mitzvah. Okay, fine, but that doesn't prove that ignorance does. I mean, okay, fine. So it's nice that people do mitzvahs. But the guy is, basically don't trust that the guy means it. And the mitzvah isn't enough to prove that he has ignorance does. Okay? It's not sufficient.
Okay.
What Shmuel says is that essentially, in a certain sense, we trust the guy. He's saying, I'm placing the Erev on behalf of so-and-so, you know, of Plony. The only thing is that we're worried that maybe it's simply like words. It's like Dvarim Ba'alma. Is he just talking? Well, yeah, I'll place an Erev for him. You know, he's not taking the matter seriously. It's not like there's a kind of a speech which is simply like a gesture, a token. He's just saying, oh yeah, I'll place Erev on behalf of him, you know, sure. You know, but it's not really thought out, it's not really serious, he doesn't really mean it. It doesn't really, that's what we're worried about. Okay, but as long as you could show that the guy is not simply talking, it's not like pure like speech rattling off the tongue. So then we trust. Then we assume that his dibor is enough to establish Gemara's das. You just have to show that it's a legitimate dibor. You know, because talk is cheap. You know, people could just say things. So what Shmuel holds is that since it's dvar mitzvah, so that's enough to indicate that it's not just talk. But it's not just our Vala, because he's involved in helping in the parsha of mitzvah. So it's not, that already, so to speak, makes the talk. It's not just talk. He really is involved. The guy needs to do a mitzvah, and he's helping him out. So it's not just the mitzvah brings a certain seriousness to the dibor that he's not just talking. You know what I mean? But without mitzvah, then you'd say it's okay. We don't know whether he's really talking. Whether he's talking for real or not, or he's just stam chatter. You know, it's Dvar Balma. So according to Rav, it's more like the Dvar Mitzvah, the Gemara Makdi. It's like you just have to undermine the possibility that it's simply Dvar Balma. It's just like speech. So therefore, it's sufficient to show the degree of seriousness. You know, Mitzvah shows that. But according to Rav. What he says alone, it's not just to show it's not Dvarim. You have to really prove Gemir's Das. You really have to prove Gemir's Das. So just because of mitzvah and it's serious, okay, yeah, but is he willing to give up his Daf? Is he willing to give up his Chatzar? So then you have to show me that he really benefits from the thing, and therefore you prove that he has a real Gemir's Das. Shmuel's not interested in proving. He doesn't hold you to prove Gemir's Das. He says it. You assume it's Gemir's Das. He says it, and that's what it takes. So he's going to do it. Unless it just be Dvar Malma. Unless it's Dvar Malma. Or unless you can show me there's a real resistance. You know, but as long as you can show me it's not Dvar Malma, it's not just talking, there's no real resistance, then he says he's placing it, you trust him. Yeah. This is like this. According to Rav, you have to show the Gemir's Das from without, from elsewhere. The fact that he said it has no indication of Gemir's Das at all. Okay, you have to show me a real indication that the guy has a real gemaras das to do it. So the fact that he needs an eruv and he's trying to place an eruv, that's an indication. And it's also without an eruv, that's an indication gemaras das from elsewhere. You know what I mean? But according to Shmuel, the speech, the fact that he says it, that I'm placing the eruv for this guy, could be an indication of gemaras das. Okay, the only thing is that you have to show me that the speech is like a legitimate speech. He's not just talking. So you could show that without, you don't have to show that it's a speech of Gemira's Das. It's just an idea that it's not like joking. He's not just joking around, so to speak. You know, it doesn't mean you have to prove the Gemira's Das. Once you show that he was talking real, so then the Gemira's Das is implicit in his speech. And Pussy, he says, I'm placing an error, and that's what it means. He says, that's what it means, as long as it's not just idle chatter. You know, but according to Rav, okay, it's very nice he said it. And he wasn't talking as a joke. But did he think through did he really want to give over his field? Does he really have Gemir's Das to give over his field or give over his stuff? Did he show me a proof that he really wants to give it over? So he needs to have some outside indication that there's a Gemir's Das. Shmuel doesn't need an outside indication. He says he takes the guy for his word. He says he's doing it. As long as you can show that it's real talk. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean you have to show that it's... The difference between showing talk is not cheap, is not just Dvar Balma, versus showing a positive content of Gemir's Das about the about Kenyan. You know what I mean? Rav says, Shmuel, that you could imply the Gemir's Das from what he said, as long as you could show that his speech was legit. You know, so the speech itself helps you along, as long as you can show it's real speech. You know what I mean? Right, exactly. Right. Shmuel's kind of putting more stock in a guy than what a guy says. Assuming, again, of course he realizes there's such a thing as just chatter, but assuming it's not that, then when a guy says something seriously, you assume a guy thinks into it and knows all the consequences and really is doing it in a legitimate way. Right? It would be like a guy signs something. It's a chazaka that a guy signs something that he knows exactly what he's getting into. Sign a star. You can't sign a star and say, oh, I didn't realize what I was signing. It's a chazaka. A guy signs something, he means it. He's read it through, he thought it through, he's considered, you know, it's a halacha, there's a chazaka like that. But Shmuel is holding like a speech. A guy says something, he says something, unless there's an idea of idle chatter. Once you say not, then you assume Gemir's Das simply because he said it, and he said it in a serious tone. You know, he knew it was serious. But Rav holds, no, he says it. So it's because he says it's true, he wasn't joking, but it doesn't mean he necessarily fully thought through all the consequences of the thing, and you have to show me from elsewhere that he really has that das. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Neder.
Yeah, like Neder, right. So it's similar to Neder and Shvua, that a Neder, it's like a Neder LaHashem, like he's just saying things per se, it doesn't necessarily create a Neder. I mean, that's like, yeah, they have to really have das of a Neder. And that's why you say Lashem and a thing. You make your speech. Or that's a concept, I think, of, you know, and Neder is not just speech. And that's why you have to be Pivoli Boshavan or something. You have to really mean it. If you didn't really mean it, so that's not that kind of speech. The kind of speech which registers in Dharam is a real expression of your Das, you know? And speech is sometimes loose, you know? Yeah. Good? Okay, well, last answer, right? So this third answer, this is funny. Third answer seems funny. The ode, this is again explaining according to Rav, according to Shmuel, why it is that you could assume that there's a, that the guy is Kona, why it works, the Kenyan works by Erev Tchumen, right? Even though you don't have any proof of his Gemir's Das, right? But Shmuel says, well, how do you know? Maybe he's just talking, maybe he doesn't care. So that is Rav, right? But he says, since Erev Tchumen, you can only place midas of the person who you're placing it for, he has to agree to it, he has to tell you, I want you to place it for me. Amiraso, kishu omer tseva arevli, his statement, when he says, go and be ma'arev, place an Erev for me, chashuva kizachia, is considered like a zachia. Okay, like a zachia, like he's married, being Conan. Okay, what's the problem with this? Bayer, just pshat, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't have to admit. He doesn't have to know about it. Because why? Because Bayer Chatzeros, it's a benefit to the guy. So you don't have to tell him, it's automatically a benefit to him. So you don't have to ask the guy before you place the error for him. But Erev Tchumen, it's a benefit, but it's also a harm to him. Because in the other Darrow, it's a benefit in one direction, it's a harm in the other direction. So therefore, he's saying is, he has to tell you, I want it. So since he tells you, I want it, that counts as Zechia. Right, exactly. The problem is that the whole issue is does the guy who's placing it have a Gemir's Das to really give over the Erev to the recipient? Right? Does he have that Das? So you're trying to show that he does or he doesn't. But now you're saying is that the guy, the recipient, wants it. And he said, hey, buddy, place it for me. Okay, that's very nice that he wants it. That's not the question. The question is does the giver have a Gemir's Das to give? Not does the recipient want it. So what does it mean, it's chashuva kizachia? It's like, I tell you, hey, I want your car. So, oh, you might as well like it. I was okay in it. Yeah, but you can't just will a zachia from another guy. The other guy has to be the one who's mizaka, who's a mizaka to you. So how do you say, my statement is like I'm zocha in it. I can't just be mizocha in it. So I'm thinking like this is that. See, maybe, I'm not sure about this answer, but it could be he's going back on the whole thing. He's learning the whole thing differently. Is until now, what we were thinking is, why do you need Zechiah? Why do you need Zechiah? So everyone until now was saying is because how do we know he really means it? Right? Maybe this answer saying is no. Shmuel's arguing on that whole premise. He means it. He says he's doing it. He means it. Why do we think he doesn't mean it? The question is by virtue of what? I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Wait a second. I'm sorry. not that he says me. Why do I need a Kenyan? Why do I need a Kenyan? Back, I'm sorry. Not why do you need a Gemir's Das? Why do you need a Kenyan? So according to everything until now, where it says because you need a Kenyan, you need it to be yours. How is it your Erev? Is it your Erev? Because it's your Erev, because you have a Kenyan. And the whole discussion, everything in the sugi was, how do we know that he was a Machnetim? Was he really Machnetim or was he not really Machnetim? But it was a premise that you need Kenyan. You need ownership. The question, do you need a Maisa of transferring ownership? Or is it sufficient to infer it, to assume it, the Gemara Machni? Right? But it was all about us saying there's a rooted in ownership. But remember, we once had an approach. This is the very beginning. We said, maybe, hold, there's no real idea of ownership per se. The idea is that it has to be my Erev. Okay? It's Erev for me. So some other guy plays an Erev. What does that have anything to do with me? How's it my Erev? Okay? Well, I don't even relate to it. Some guy that I don't even know or whatever just places an Erev for me. Now I have an Erev and I can carry, I could do whatever. How's it my Erev? By virtue of what is it my Erev? So if the guy is makne to me, then it's my Erev because I own it. I don't care if I know about it, I don't know about it. Palmanis is my Erev. I have a Kenyan in the thing. It's mine. It's on my bank account. It's in my net worth. It's my Erev. I have ownership in it. There's a Kenyan. But that's good. That's fine. That works. But another way to make it my Erev is if I tell the guy, hey, could you place an Erev for me? And he says, sure, I'll place an Erev for you. And he places an Erev for me. So then it's my Erev. Then I'm involved in the Hanachas Erev. He's doing it as a shliach for me. Do I own it? No, I don't own it. Who cares if I own it? It's not essentially about ownership. Essentially, it's a mitzvah. It's a davar mitzvah that reminds you not to carry whatever. So there's no essential need for kinyan. The whole idea of kinyan is because you need to somehow concretize that it's my Erev. If it's an Erev Chatzeros, so I don't know about it. I didn't tell him about it. So he just places it for me. So what? How is it for me? What does that even mean? I don't even have no knowledge about the thing. In what way is it my Erev? So Kenyan makes it my Erev because I own it. But again, an Erev Tchumen, you have to tell the guy, place it for me. So then he places it for me, so then it's my Erev. That's it, as simple as that. Whereas that's what Tosfos maybe is arguing, maybe that's what Shmuel's holding. But Rav and everyone else until now was holding that essentially it's your Erev only through ownership. Erev me, your Erev means you're an owner. You're an owner, how do you know ownership? How do you know Gomer Machni? And then all these discussions. But he's saying perhaps Shmuel is arguing is that really the whole. So that's what he means. It's Cheshuva Kezachia. He says the fact that he said, place the Erev for me, is like Zachia. What do you mean it's like Zachia? How could it be like Zachia? How could I be Zocha, your thing? Because he means it functions like Zachia. Zachia functions to make it my Erev. But me saying, place it for me, makes it my Erev.
So why
by
Erev Tchumen? Does it
work? Well, by Erev Tchumen, you have to say, it doesn't work unless you say, place it for me, because maybe I don't want it. So the practical case is always the only way a guy could ever place an Erev Tchumen for me is if I tell him first, place an Erev Tchumen for me. Because otherwise, maybe I don't want the Erev Tchumen.
No, why does this method work as opposed to the Chatzeros, which you need a greater...
Oh, no, but Erev Chatzeros also would work. If you told the guy, place an Erev Chatzeros for me, then it would work. Mm-hmm. But in the standard case, you don't tell the guy, you don't go up to him and tell him. Everyone in the Chatzeros wants it. You assume the guy wants it, and then we don't say anything. He just places it on your behalf. Places it on your behalf, but how do I know? I don't even know about it. What shaykhus do I have to it? So he has to be machmir to me. But in a chanami, if you actually went up to him and said, save our, go and be ma'ar for me, it would be fine. But that's not the case. Cases as you said, but Erev Tchumen, it's always the case because how else could you be placing an Erev? You can't place an Erev for a guy unless he told him he wants it. You know what I mean? The only hard part, my brother pointed this out, is that it's the way Tosa says it is like ve'od, like if you look at it, Inami, the second answer, Kivin Neir Marvin Erev Tchumen Lodavar Mitzvah, Mishem Mitzvah Gom Ramachni. Right? Ve'od, Kivin Neir Tchumen Marvin Lomidaito, Mirosik Shom Matsev Arev Lichashuvik Ezechia. Right, ve'od is like, this is like a whole paradigm shift. It's a whole different thing, It's like funny to do that in a ve'od,
Anything
is an inami. Yeah, maybe inami. Ve'od, it almost sounds like it's adding to the second answer. That's not just an adding, it's a whole different answer, Mm-hmm. So that's only, I'm not sure how much the question is, if it's a meanness of his bad sort altogether, or is it just, I don't know enough about Lashonos and Tosos. Like, my experience, I wouldn't write that as a ve'od. That's already like a whole, But I don't know. Odi Shalom. I'm just saying it's like it's hard to go by the lashon of the word ve'od. I listened to Zerashi had basically the same thing. So maybe it's the Girsa, whatever. I'm just saying I don't know if you know someone's throw a svara because it's hard to see how it's a ve'od. It seems different, Anyways, it seems different. It's hard to work it out. So I don't know if necessarily want to throw it out because you should use a different word. I mean that kind of a word. It's like a translation. I just don't know. Maybe it's the Girsa. Who really knows? But I think it makes sense. And, take it for that. Okay, so that's this. Okay, so I'm pretty, I think, so the punchline in all this is the punchline is, we hold that you have to be kona by both. Okay, basically, by both of them, you need a kinyan, because you have to basically, you have to show the guy really means it, and therefore by Erev Tchumen, who knows if he really means it. Right? You have to show, motivation. And also, you have to deal with the resistance, which is Erev Chatzeros. That's what we paskin. We paskin like the chumrah of both of them. Rav Nachman does. And by Erev Tavshilin, also the Gemara's what we paskin. No one even argues. Because by Erev Tavshilin, there's resistance because I'm giving a guy my food in my house. Right? It's my food in my house. It's not like on the street, on the road somewhere. You see, that's why you see, it's, if you learn that way, that's why Erev Tavshilin, it's not just because it's food, but it's food in on the road, But Erev Tavshilin, his food is my food, which adds his resistance. And I don't think he's saying to gain anything from the other guy having Erev Tavshilin. What do I care? So Erev Tavshilin, basically, we all need to be Mizaka. Okay, you have to be Mizaka. But then the question is up to, the next question which we're going to go to, I think, is for whom could you be mezak in Erev Tov Shilin? Could I place Erev Tov Shilin for some guy I come across the world? Some guy, whatever. Like, when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, it has to be people in the Chatzer. When it comes to Erev Tchumen, it has to be people who are within the Tchum. But what about Erev Tov Shilin? I'm making a hecker at the beginning of the cooking so that, you know, let's say someone in Florida. Could I place an Erev Tchumen with someone in Florida? Like, is it, like, what's the, how does it work? Like, what's the scope? So that's what I think the next part of the Gemara. I think, I'll have to look and see exactly the course we're going to try here. But it's important to halacha, this thing, about mezakeh, because not only people know about this. You know, if you place here for somebody else, you really have to be mezakeh for them. It's not so simple, you know? But I don't think you have to for your wife. I just saw a rush. I had a svar that you didn't have to for a wife, or I have to shil, and then I saw a rush that says you don't have to. But we have to, we'll get into it. Yeah. I like this tomorrow is the Gemara in Shabbos, Chanukah. Okay, so it's Chanukah, it's I think Chaf Aleph from Abayz. Tanar Banan, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Lanicha, Pesach, Beisil Mi Bachutz. I think it's about 3/5 of the way down the page. Okay? It's a Machlokas. I hope no one else did this or was doing this. Or.
I think I did it very shallow, but I don't remember.
Really? Okay. Yeah, years ago. Maybe I learned it also. So the question is, where do you, so Machlokas Rashi tells us, where do you put the Ner Chanukah? Do you put it by the door of your house, or do you put it by the door of your courtyard?
That's
your chatzer.
From the base.
Yeah. Okay, if you can't find it or anything, let me know. But it's pretty, it's a small little gemara there. A few cases, and then if you live in an attic, where do you put it? And if it's time of sakana, then where do you put it? You know, there's Rashi and there's Tosas. And you can look at the gemaras that Tosas brings up, and the Rashi's on those gemaras. If you can find them. They're all in those few daf.